As World War II loomed, thousands of Jewish children were evacuated from Germany on what became known as the Kinder Transport. 14-year-old Lisa Juro was on one of those trains. Now her daughter has written the story of how her mother formed a new family in London with other young refugees and got them through the darkest days of the war with music. Her book is called The Children of Williston Lane, and concert pianist Mona Golubic sat at the piano as she told her mother's story.
Every Sunday was her wonderful day, her day to go to her piano lesson. It was the most important hour of the week for her, and she would take the tram down. She had the same recurring daydream all the time, that she'd be striding across the Philharmonic stage in the, you know, in the great concert hall. She'd sit down at the great Steinway piano. She'd straighten her posture. The audience, everybody became hushed. And then the Grieg piano concerto would begin with her great heroic chords, and I'd love to give you a little taste of that. In the same place, the dream would stop. She'd get off, go into the square, and start her piano lesson. But as the story begins, on this particular Sunday, that was when, of course, she knew and faced the impending darkness that was going to take over her life.
She was, of course, in the Vienna of Adolf Hitler. And the trolley she took eventually ended up with a sign saying, "No Jews, no dogs."
That's right.
There was no escape. Nobody was being allowed out of Vienna except some children who were put on this Kinder transport.
Right.
You write that your mother, she couldn't carry anything with her on the train except a small little bag, but as she ran out of the house, she grabbed a sheet of music.
Yes, it's a poignant moment where she scans the walls, she looks around, she wants to remember everything. She even says to my grandmother, "Promise me that you'll never change anything so that I can think about it." And then she guiltily grabs a copy of The Clair de Lune by Debussy. Malka, when she taught her, the main thing for her was to paint an image or a picture in Lisa's mind to inspire her about the music. So very often when she talked about Clair de Lune, she'd try to say, "Imagine a beautiful desert island that we're on. The sea is reflecting the brilliance of the moon." That caused my mother to have a total image of how to paint the tapestry at the piano. It inflamed and pierced her imagination and into her heart.
Lisa, your mother, she made it to London.
When she arrived in London, of course, she went through quite a journey and was abandoned by the uncle that never was able to take her in. Eventually ended up outside of Brighton, where she became a kitchen maid and worked for the lady of a place called Peacock Manor, and was bone tired, never allowed to go to the piano that was on the second floor there to practice because she, of course, was just a hired hand, really, into that place. In a particularly poignant scene that she told me about, on a Sunday when everyone went to church, she stayed behind, and she crept down to where that piano was. She lifted up the lid, but she was so frightened to play the piano that she could only pretend to play it above the keys. So she heard the music in her mind and started to play a Chopin prelude that I love very much. As she was playing this, she remembered what her mother's words were to her when she said goodbye to her at the train station, and the promise that she made to her mother to hold on to her music because it would be her best friend in life. She kept playing that prelude in her mind's eye. She knew that she had to leave this manor, even though she had food and she was safe. and make something of her life. And in a very dramatic moment in the story, she leaves this manor and gets on a bike and rides nearly 80 miles back to a Brighton train station, hops on, brings herself back to London, to the Bloomsbury House, and basically begs the Quaker British Christian who was running the Bloomsbury organization to give her a chance in life to make something of her life. And that's how she found herself being brought to 243 Willesden Lane.
And it was very hard for her. I mean, she was in London during the Blitz.
Yes. Very often when I've told this story or shared it, many people go to the moments during the Blitz. And what my mother told me when she would put me to sleep at night was how she would go down into the basement of this orphanage that she eventually arrived at and would practice as the bombs were falling. And very often, because she was so frightened about the bombs and the power of it, she would play the loudest music she could think of in order to drown out the sound of the bombs. And very often that was the cadenza of the Grieg Piano Concerto, which would ultimately build to these very powerful chords. And it was the same theme built on the opening theme of her fantasy when she would be on that lumbering streetcar. When I started to interview all the remaining kids that were alive as I put the story together, everyone spoke to me of the dramatic moment when they first heard my mother playing the piano at the orphanage at 243 Willesden Lane. Because what happened was that each kid had to get a job, and my mom got a job in the East End of London in the factories there. And one day she came home and she knew that there was this piano, of course, in the hostel, but had not had the courage to, you know, to go over. But she said it was, she had to do it. So she got up and she walked over, lifted up the lid, and she picked out again that same piece. And began to lose herself in the emotion and the power of the music. And I'm told that one by one, as the kids started to come home from their jobs, and the nuns that were living next door at, I think, 256 Willesden Lane, stopped working in the garden, everyone began to listen to her. And ultimately, in that moment, it was the first aspect of beauty for these 30 kids that had lost everything, that had all come on these trains from different parts of Europe, and they all drank in this beauty for the next set of moments. And she became somewhat of a symbol to them of what they had left behind.
The very last words of your book, she had fulfilled the promise she'd made to her mother. She had held on to her music. In fact, you were the one, and your sister, you two were the ones who became the concert pianists that your mother dreamed about.
I think the joke was that we were hardly out of the womb that we were put on the piano. The passion and the fire that was inflamed within her, she transferred to us. It was almost preordained that we would go on to do this because those words were so powerful and entered our souls. And the dream now, of course, is to bring this book into school systems across America, and that's what we're working on, so that we can inspire other young people out there to the power of a legacy, and that even in the darkest times, if you have something to hold on to, you'll make it through.
Mona Golubac wrote The Children of Willesden Lane with Lee Cohen. The Millikan Family Foundation this week provided a grant to put the books in schools nationwide.